Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to welcome everybody to this special council meeting on Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019, 1 p.m. in the committee room. If this is not the meeting you meant to be at, you might want to leave now, but it's good to see everybody here. We have a published agenda, which is before you. The second item on that is public comment. If you would like to make a public comment, please come to the podium. You'll have 2 minutes. We need your name and address, and this system will give you a warning. When do you get the yellow light? At a minute 30, I think. I think you, when the yellow light comes on, you have 30 seconds left. And so we welcome your comments. Name, address, and 2 minutes, please. Yeah, that's great. If people would go ahead and line up, that'll save us time between speakers. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I'm Bruce Ketting. I live at 2853 Rivertown Parkway. Mary Haney and council members, I have just a few bullet points I want to go through real quick. I want to thank the town council for being able to participate on the citizens forum, and in particular, Councilwoman Landing, who is not here, but she got me assigned to the position. I do appreciate that. I want to say that I concur with the Planning Commission's transmittal letter to you all and the Planning Department's executive summary. I think they were both all well written. The draft comprehensive plan, in my opinion, is a good roadmap for the town of Mount Pleasant. But as mentioned in the plan and the various summaries, this is a high-level plan. The citizen forum that I participated in tended to get down in the weeds. We had to keep pulling ourselves back to look at the bigger picture and the bigger scope across the town of Mount Pleasant. And I think the planning department did a very good job to get us focused on that proverbial big picture and to look at all the sections as a plan as a whole. Each section can't be taken in its own little silo. They've all got to be looked at together. The development of the special area plans will provide the details necessary to implement the comprehensive plan, and I think that is really critical. I strongly support the executive summary section on maintaining the plan, and in particular the concept of an implementation committee with citizen participation, with the emphasis on citizen participation. The town of Mount Pleasant does an excellent job of keeping us citizens informed, at least for those of us who want to be informed. During the 18-month process, numerous opportunities were provided for citizen feedback. The forum got good feedback, but not surprising, it was very limited. Once the town council approves the comp plan, the proper rollout to the community is paramount. Under the auspices of the town's communications office, consideration should be given to have citizen advocates help take the message to the community. I look forward to participating and moving forward with the implementation of the comp plan and in any way that I can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, hey. Council members. My name is Bea Lavelle. I reside at 1460 Longspur Road Drive, actually. I'm at this meeting for one mission and one mission only, to request and actually implore the town council to begin moving and making Mount Pleasant a non-toxic community in terms of pesticides and herbicides that are applied to municipal property. I don't know how educated anybody is on this. I'm unfortunately very educated on it in some ways. I am a professor of health at the College of Charleston in the Health and Human Performance Department. I spend most of my time doing research on how to prevent and heal disease. And I am telling you that the fact that we are allowing glyphosate and other carcinogenics to be applied to our municipal properties where children are playing in schoolyards, in parks, willy-nilly, when the science is there saying that there are long-term health effects. The American Academy of Pediatrics has been very, very strong on the position of this, and they say, and in this case, remember everybody, pesticides, herbicides is used interchangeable when you get into the science of this, that there is absolutely zero level that is safe for children to be exposed to. Now, we're coming up on a comprehensive plan. Already 63 cities in this country, from California to Maine, have already adopted a non-toxic policy, eliminating substances like glyphosate, speed zone, any of those broad-based carcinogenic herbicides and pesticides. We don't need to do it. It's not necessary. Everybody needs to wrap their mind around that. I drive down 17. I see our employees, our municipal employees, putting glyphosate underneath the overpass where 526 and 17 are. I see them walking willy-nilly going down Sweetgrass Basket on the side. we are putting, number one, our children's health at risk. Number two, we're putting our environment at risk. Let's move forward with this. The wheel has already been invented. The science is there. Cities are doing it. All you have to do is get educated. They wrote it all out. Anyway, I'm here, and I will be more than glad to supply any information in beneath. Let's get it done.
Thank you.
See, now, that's a good reason for us to do turf fields.
All right. We're not going there. Not this meeting. No.
We don't have to put down pesticides.
All right.
Segway.
Next.
Hello, good afternoon, Mayor Haney and council members. My name is Ashley Demosthenes. I serve as the president and CEO of Low Country Land Trust. My address is 74 Brisbane Drive in West Ashley. I am here to thank you for your extraordinary support of the Land Trust's purchase of a conservation easement on Boone Hall Plantation. Your leadership in dedicating the town's urban funds to this project is a powerful demonstration of your commitment to the vitality and well-being of the community. The protection of Boone Hall supports many, if not all, of the goals stated in the draft comprehensive plan that you will be discussing today, from natural resource and open space values to public recreation, enhanced connectivity and mobility. You are modeling the public benefit of investing in conservation and setting important land aside by protecting Boone Hall. Thank you so much for investing in your citizens and in the future of Mount Pleasant, Charleston County, and the state of South Carolina with this commitment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley. In under 2 minutes, it can be done. Thank you. Next.
Lucy Gordon, 1551 Ben Sawyer Boulevard. I was also on the planning forum for the comprehensive plan, and I do have some major concerns with it, which I have documented in detail to a letter, which I hope you all have read. If not, I will resend it. But I'm not going to repeat those. I'd like to focus on some other larger points. The citizens are asking that you take your time, look at the actual details, pick out the parts that fit the vision for the town, and recognize those that don't. There are always alternatives. Let's avoid repeating past mistakes. For example, trying to force fit the urban corridor into Mount Pleasant created many problems, costing us countless hours and dollars, and we are still dealing with them years later. Let's not do that. We need a plan that works for the majority. We also, years ago, you probably remember, the Urban Land Institute did a consultation here, and they noted that we had a problem with leadership and with conflicting visions for the town, which we definitely did. Fast forward through numerous years and two elections, we now feel strongly that with this council, we do have a shared vision and a common set of priorities. I think this draft was formulated by staff and consultants with good intentions and genuine belief about proper urban planning. However, there are basic components that are in direct conflict with citizen priorities which need to be reconciled. It also seems that the draft, to me, was perhaps developed with some preconceived assumptions and conclusions that certain things are necessary when, in fact, they are one avenue. For example, one seems to be the necessity of building up large concentrations of density in order to justify a rapid transit system and designing the town around this. This was also a rationale for the urban corridor. But this is seen as the tail wagging the dog, plus it's full of questionable assumptions about whether this would actually work effectively here. Another would be the assumption that we need a system of large-scale mixed-use commercial hubs in order to succeed financially. One request from the forum was for council to please step back and relook at all our sources of revenue, what it would cost us to get out from under our overdependency on development in general. We are a large, wealthy town with high-quality services, and yet we pay some of the lowest taxes around. Is this realistic, and what is this actually costing us? What are the alternatives? What's a more realistic balance? We did not raise...
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Yes, sir.
Was that 2 minutes or did it not reset? That was 2 minutes. Okay.
Okay, I'm
just wanted you to know. All right, thanks. If somebody gets up there and it doesn't reset, let me know. That's happened before, right in the middle of somebody's talk. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of council, friends all. Thank you so much for your service. I know what you're doing is a really, really hard job. My name's Dave Shemp. I live at 1551 Ben Sawyer Boulevard. For many months, I've attempted to digest the draft comprehensive plan. I've spoken to you many times about that. But I continue to be perplexed at its failure to provide safeguards against overdevelopment. Mount Pleasant has spoken loud and clear in two elections and several surveys that we want to have infrastructure in place first. Out-of-control development under our current comprehensive plan has outpaced our ability to keep up with roads, schools, drainage, and so on. As just one example, the draft plan centers around building hubs near major road patterns as a traffic panacea. But when we're already at gridlock, no matter how wonderful the new on-ramp concept seems on paper, it can't pretend to be a solution when it only adds to congestion. As you review the draft plan, please ask yourselves if our present infrastructure can support the development authorized in it. If it cannot, please mark it up to require infrastructure improvements to be in place, not just promised or envisioned, before approving developments that add to the burden already on our infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon. I'm Lou Ann Rosenzweig. I live at 365 Sugar Cane Way in Mount Pleasant. I'm a member of Kahal Kadosh Beth Elohim Synagogue downtown, and I'm also a member of the Charleston Area Justice Ministry, or CAJM. CAJM is an organization made up of about 30 religiously, socioeconomically, and racially diverse congregations in our Charleston County. On April 8th, 500 of our leaders gathered in support of the Regional Housing Trust Fund between Charleston County, Charleston, North Charleston, and Mount Pleasant. From our research, locally and nationally, we know that housing trust funds work in tandem with policies that allow for higher density. Higher density allows for diverse housing options for residents at various income levels. It doesn't matter if you're a barista in a local coffee shop, a teacher at Wando, one of our service workers such as firefighters or police officers, or doctors that treat us. Everyone needs a housing unit at various income levels, and those various housing options create a vibrant community. Mount Pleasant not only has a housing crisis, but we also have a transportation dilemma that is bolstered by our housing plight. 18,000 people commute into Mount Pleasant every day because they cannot afford to live here. That is why many of our workers have long commute times. Providing higher density could allow for mixed-use housing units and truly work to address the needs of our workers that commute here daily. We call on council to support higher density in Mount Pleasant for the working families in Mount Pleasant that should be able to afford to live here. Thank you.
Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Brantley DeBrew, and I'm a native Charlestonian, and I live in Mount Pleasant. I'm also a realtor with Carolina One Real Estate, as well as I'm the 2019 chair for the Realtors Housing Opportunities Fund, which is the charitable committee for the Association of Realtors. One of our missions is the creation of affordable housing. The affordable housing crisis continues to worsen every year, and we're behind in combating this issue. Our teachers, police officers, firemen, our workforce, and those who serve our town should not have to drive 30 minutes to an hour from where they live when they are committed to serving our town. Their extended commute negatively impacts their own quality of life, as well as increase the amount of congestion felt by the entire community every day. Additionally, young professionals looking to buy their first homes and senior citizens looking to downsize within their own community cannot afford to live here. We desperately need the implementation of the hubs. We cannot continue to push so many people out because they can't afford it here. The hubs will improve the quality of life for so many and help with the traffic congestion. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Next.
I'm Sarah Jacob, otherwise known as Sally. I live at 1152 Village Creek Lane in Mount Pleasant, and I'm also here to speak about the hubs, but with a different kind of view. I want to speak to Joe. Joe has been complaining about the cost of services to our town, of homes, and how much we aren't getting back. I think it's $1,300 to $500, something like that. In hubs, we already have the infrastructure built. We also hear about building only in places where there is already existing infrastructure. So I am suggesting to you that it is financially to your benefit to encourage hubs.
Next, please.
George Freeman, 1450 Bowman Road, Director of Community Activities for the CAGE organization. Most of you on the council now didn't vote for a lot of the new roads that we have in Mount Pleasant. So I won't say anything bad about you as far as the roads are in Mount Pleasant. But since you're the new ones now, you have a chance to do something a little different from the old ones. Most of you, even though you're new, you know that my stance about connectivity is real strong. And when Hungry Neck was being built, I fought heart and tooth and nail against it. But now it's basically built. It's called, part of it's called Billy's Wheels, and part's called Sweetgrass Basket Parkway. Now, my thing is that we're all in the same boat, and we do have transportation problems over here. And my concern is that the community that Hungry Net went through, they have paid their dues. We do not need to put any more roads through those communities. And I see in the plan there's a line for a new road through the 7 Mile community. And we went to the committee when this plan was being put together and explained to them that we felt this thing had been resolved, that we would not have any more roads coming through those communities. Like I said, everybody should share when it comes to roads in Mount Pleasant. I think the older communities have paid their dues, and we should not have any more new roads coming through them. That's my main reason for being here today, and I hope you put together a good plan and you take that in consideration when it comes to transportation in Mount Pleasant. Thank you.
Thanks, George. Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Robin Bugby, if I can get my phone to work here. My name is Robin Bugby. I'm a hospice chaplain, and I live at 1481 Center Street Extension. I'm here today to speak against the new road in the plan that would link Myrick Road with Home Farm Road and create needless traffic congestion on Center Street Extension and ultimately make that street a cut-through, a shortcut to Ben Sawyer Boulevard and Sullivan's Island. If this plan is approved, traffic from Chuck Dawley Boulevard, Route 17, and Rifle Range Road, all roads with serious congestion issues already, would funnel across the extension of Myrick Road to connect to Center Street Extension and ultimately Ben Sawyer Boulevard and Sullivan's Island. This traffic would overwhelm several quiet residential neighborhoods and cause serious traffic jams on Center Street Extension. It would not alleviate traffic congestion, but would create a massive bottleneck at the soon-to-be-installed new traffic light at the intersection of Center Street Extension and Ben Sawyer Boulevard. It would destroy the peace and quiet of the North Point, Bay Club, and Harbor Shores neighborhoods and would require taking land from the historic African-American AME Church on the corner of the property on Rifle Range Road. I urge you to reconsider this plan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next.
My name is Matt Jones. My address is 3044 Ashburton Way. I was one of the citizens on the committee that helped form this plan. We were a very large, diverse group from all across Mount Pleasant. We learned a lot. We learned about some of the fallacies about trying to build roads before housing and businesses are available and why that doesn't work for cities. But the big thing was that this plan is a compromise. As you've heard, there are people here who want height and they want density. And there are people who don't want that. So one of the things that we did when we did this was we compromised together and we said we can put places where those things can work and we'll feather them out so that they look good. So that way those people who want that can have those things. And it's not just evil developers that want these things. I had an older lady tell me at one of the open houses that she wanted more density because she was getting to the point that she wasn't going to be able to drive her car much anymore. And she wanted to be able to walk to the shops and to entertainment and stuff like that. And I think that's a valid request from us. And I think that we have the land and the capacity to be able to support both visions. I applaud the Planning Commission's view on the current plan, and I ask that you please move forward with the plan as it was written. That was one of our largest concerns, was once it went before the politicians, that it would start to become politicized instead of taking the actual citizens' input that put this together. It wasn't the staff that did it. They just simply took our vision and put it on paper. Thank you.
My name is Jimmy Bagwell. I live at 41 Vincent Drive. I have lived in Mount Pleasant for 70 years. I've been here all my life. And I was involved. I sat in your chairs back in the 70s when we developed the first comprehensive plan for the town of Mount Pleasant. I thought it was a good thing then. I'm not so sure that the last comprehensive plan was a great plan, and I'm very concerned about this plan. I think we have to be very careful with what we have over here. Building density is not necessarily going to give you affordable housing. All you have to do is look at the boulevard. The average single worker can hardly afford to live over there now. So I think that the notion of hubs and large buildings, density, high-rise apartment buildings, those kinds of things, are not what the citizens of Mount Pleasant want. I think what they want to do is to preserve the character of this town, to preserve it as much as we call ourselves a town. We don't call ourselves a city. And I would hate to see us ever call ourselves a city. I like to think of Mount Pleasant as a town. You've got a tough job. This is a very, very, very hard-to-read plan. I sat down and I've tried to go through it. I haven't been through the whole thing yet, but I do know this. We are getting very, very crowded over here. The transportation in and out of this town, for those people who can afford to live over here or work over here, is tough. I remember when we opened the Ravenel Bridge in 2005, it was pretty easy to get back and forth across that bridge. Look at it today. Go out there at 5:30 this afternoon and see the traffic backed up coming into Mount Pleasant. I remember Bobby Clare, the chief engineer on the bridge, said, Jimmy, I can get you across the river, but once I get you over there, I can't help you. And we've got a problem. The people who live in North Mount Pleasant, who live in this part of town, are having a hard time getting where they want to get. So I urge you to take a hard look at this plan. There are some good parts of it, but it's not exactly what the people in Mount Pleasant expressed in the questionnaires that were distributed as to what they want. I think this plan deserves a little bit more time, a little bit more thought, and I urge you to put a lot of that into it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Good afternoon. Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. First, I want to tell you how absolutely thrilled I was to go into the CVS and have them offer me a paper bag instead of a plastic bag. It's really wonderful. Secondly, I was on the Comp Plan Committee, and there are two things that I think the Planning Commission picked up really well and expanded on that I want to comment on right now. One is the financial resiliency, and that's on the flip chart right back there. We're healthy, but I'm getting tired of hearing we can't afford this, we can't afford that, we can't afford that. There are a lot of things in this new plan that are going to take more money than what we currently have in our budget. So we need to find some new ways to make money. And we know it's not housing right now. We know that it's commercial development. The other thing that came up was the hubs. Everybody's talking about hubs, and I absolutely hate that word. I think it has a negative connotation to it. But the more and more I thought about it, and the more I drove around town and saw these really tired little, call them strip malls or whatever, we've got them all over, including Houston Northcutt area, right down here. There's some tired places there, and we're going to have to redo them. And there's, I forget which part of the plan it was in, but it was added when the Planning Commission was going over it. They did a comparison of how much income we're making on different, like Houston Northcutt Plaza, and if we were to redo it in a very beautiful, financially important way, that's just one instance we can make a lot more money. So they're good news to the hubs.
Thanks. Next.
Good afternoon. Wendy Bauerschmidt, 1320 Woodlake Court, Mount Pleasant. Some here today are against the hub concept because they think it will negatively impact quality of life and character in our community. I make the case that mixed-use hubs will allow us to maintain quality of life because it will take traffic off the roads and because it will make attainable housing more achievable. The reality is that some density is required in order to make attainable housing feasible. It's simply the math. And I get the impression that many, in the name of preserving character and quality of life, don't like this concept of density or perhaps even attainable housing. I would say that first, the look and feel can and should be managed with zoning and design review. And you can have density and good design. Also, I ask those neighbors and town council to consider what happens to character and quality of life when there's always a long line at your favorite restaurant, not just during season, but because they don't have the kitchen staff to prepare your food, or at the checkout line at the supermarket, or at Home Depot, or your local dry cleaner, or at your doctor's office. You know, there's always an hour-long checkout because they're short-staffed, because that staff now lives in the growing communities around the region, in North Charleston and or the new home communities in Berkeley and Dorchester County, where people can live in affordable homes and work nearby. What happens to the value of your home when the student-teacher ratio increases in Mount Pleasant schools because new teachers can live, work, and raise their families elsewhere in the region rather than commuting an hour to Mount Pleasant? Or what happens to the value of your home if property taxes rise due to shrinking business space along with reduced impact fees? Growth will and needs to happen outside of Mount Pleasant because that's where land is. You know, that is a trend. It was just talked about in the Post and Courier that population in Berkeley. Just one more thing. When 72% of the labor force in Mount Pleasant does not live in Mount Pleasant, it makes us very vulnerable. So we do need to provide some housing to serve the existing residents and businesses.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment? Name, address, in 2 minutes, please.
Hi, my name's Gino Anacleto. I live at 1508 Village Square. I wasn't prepared to talk today, but I certainly wanted to voice my opinion for not only me, but our neighborhood, as this proposed Center Street extension plan of connecting the roads to Myrick. It's hard to say don't do something because Mount Pleasant's changing all over the place, and how can we stop that, right? But what about if we are going to do something? What about just doing something that is more of the Mount Pleasant way that you guys talk about? Maybe a green space. How about a nice connected green space that connects back there? I got to tell you, selfishly, my master bedroom is about 20 feet from my fence line, and then from that fence line is where this proposed road's going to go. So we're talking 40 feet away from my master bedroom window. We moved here to Mount Pleasant, moved into this neighborhood. I mean, we love everything about that neighborhood, everything about Mount Pleasant, and it's changing, but I certainly don't want my backyard to change. If it is going to change, maybe we can do it in a better way, something that enhances the community. I love hearing kids riding their bikes back there, people walking their dogs back there. What if it was a cleaned up space where it really brought a community together? Think about the neighborhoods that are all back there in that corridor. That's all. I don't need 2 minutes. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. We won't go into this today because getting into specifics of this is not on the agenda for today. But if y'all who are concerned about that, we'll look for, I don't know, Eric, what you sent us today, whether we'll post that or send it out or whatever, clearing up the nature of what you're seeing, that technically it really is not a proposed road. Right. It's not in our transportation plan. Okay. So, but if we start getting in the weeds, we'll stay there, but these are things that we will be going through over time. Is that everybody who wanted to speak? Okay. So we will close item number two on the agenda, public comments. Move to item number three, presentation of the draft comprehensive plan. I hope everyone knows it's available online. If you want to see it, I think most people have probably already seen that. We'll turn this over to the staff. Can you give us a rough estimate of how long this overview will be?
3-4 days.
Okay. All right. Uber Eats. We're ordering meals.
We'll order.
All right.
We're shooting for about an hour.
An hour? Okay.
We can cover it in that amount of time.
Less works, too.
Less works, too.
Just and I want everybody to know, this is the first in a process of meetings. We are not voting on the comprehensive plan today under any circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, council members. We are here today to give you a 30,000-foot look at the new recommended draft comprehensive plan. And we have our staff and consultant team here, so we'll be putting into service several of us as we make the presentation. Mr. Greg Dale is here to my left from McBride Dale Clarion. His firm worked a lot on the plan, the land use, the typical land use part of the plan that you see, and public involvement and engagement, along with CDM Smith. And Mr. Tim Smith is here, works out of the Mount Pleasant and Columbia offices of that firm, who focused on the transportation component. And Ms. Liz Boyles, our principal planner in our long-range comprehensive planning section, has lived, breathed, slept with this plan for the past 15 years, 15 months, in putting the plan together. And so we're happy to be here to present, and we'll break it up, and Greg is going to start, and then we'll be moving in and out as we give you that overview. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. In the interest of time, I want to jump right into this. What we propose to do today, Mr. Mayor, you just suggested this. What we propose to do today is to lay out this plan in its entirety for council. I understand that you will have future meetings where you will take deeper dives into this plan. We do think it's important to get everything out on the table, because one of the things that we hope you understand and appreciate as we go forward is how interconnected many of these issues are. And I think you got a sense of some of that here just with some of the public comment that was made. So what we're proposing to do is to put that out there and then keep a list of issues that you all want to take that deeper dive into. So we'll keep that running list. What you see before you on that newsprint, on that flip chart right now, are the topics that Planning Commission identified, requesting council to look at those in more detail. So in a sense, that's a starting point for your agenda of things to dig deeper into as we go forward with this. But what we propose to do as those come up is to simply record additional of those. And then obviously it's up to you to determine how you proceed from here. If you have 30 items on the list, that would suggest one thing. If you just have a short enough, you know, so the point is we just want to get that all laid out here so that you can go forward from there. So just in terms of the plan process, I think council is well familiar with the process that's been followed in terms of the 16 month, and just looking at some of the numbers here in terms of number of hours, number of people, and so forth. All told, citizens spent over 2,700 hours of their personal time. So it's been an extensive process. The plan forum, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've worked with a lot of citizen groups. This was a very hands-on plan forum. You heard one of them suggest that the authors of the plan, the people that sat down with fingers to keyboard, were simply trying to translate and put into words what the plan forum was directing, and the plan forum in turn listened very carefully, I think, to what the citizens were saying as well. Just a couple of points to keep in mind here. One of the realities that I think sunk in this process as we started it, both with consultants, staff, and the plan forum, is while Mount Pleasant has this perception of being this fast-growing, fast-expanding area, which it has historically been, the fact of the matter is that most of the geography of Mount Pleasant, particularly in the north and the emerging suburban areas, is largely committed. There's not a lot of land left that's not been decided. It's still developing, obviously, but one of the things that became clear in this process is that what we really need to be thinking about here is not just how does it, quote, finish out, but more importantly, the expectation that much of the future in terms of planning issues in this community is going to be dealing with infill and redevelopment, that is reuse of land. So this issue of hubs, for example, as you will dig into that deeper, NSF staff will talk about, is really dealing with the question of existing commercial areas and what happens to those in the future. So a lot of that has to do with thinking about this as redevelopment and infill, which is a different mindset from the traditional greenfield kind of development that has characterized Mount Pleasant's growth in previous decades. You see the list there. Planning Commission directed your asked you to give attention to certain things. I think you all have seen the February 20th transmittal from Planning Commission. That's what you see flip chart back there behind it. So what I'd like to do is just give you kind of an overview of a couple of things. So a couple of notable features, and what I want to spend most of my time here on in just a second is the goals of the plan. But let me just set that up here if I can. So first of all, this is a surprisingly an unusual process in that it involved both land use and transportation being written concurrently. I say surprisingly, you'd be surprised at how rare that actually is for communities to deal with both of those major topics at the same time. But that was intentional here. That was by design. So our role in terms of the comprehensive plan, CDM Smith's role, you'll hear from Tim Smith here in just a minute on the transportation, really is pretty unusual. I think there's a very strong focus in this planning effort also, and based on what we heard from citizens, on what I'd call community building. And that is the idea that Mount Pleasant is about more than bricks and mortars and roads and sewer and water and so forth. It's a place where people live. So when we talk about mixed-use hubs and the Mount Pleasant Way and the cultural core, I would just ask council to keep in mind that this is about trying to build community, not just building a place. I think the other thing that's important to keep in mind that kind of guided us is the whole interconnectedness of everything going on in this plan. And I think you got a sense of that. Somebody actually used that term earlier when the public spoke. But that's why we think it's important to kind of lay this out and look at all of this as a whole before you dig too deep into individual topics. Certainly the provision of infrastructure is a critical aspect of this. And again, you got a hint of some of that, the nature of trying to provide infrastructure concurrent with the growth and development is a very difficult concept, but it is an important thing in terms of thinking about that. And then certainly this shift in approach. So there's no question that in this planning process, what you previously knew as the urban corridors, that this planning process represents a rethinking of that and a transformation of that and an evolution of that into, rather than the linear corridors of the urban corridors, is key focal areas, particularly tied around where you already have centers and how to deal with those, what has become hubs. And certainly we understand that that's a major topic of discussion the council is going to get into. Certainly the consideration of the fiscal implications. We spent a lot of time, your plan forum spent a lot of time thinking about this question of, as you shift from this growing outward greenfield kind of community into a redeveloping and infill kind of community, what implications does that have to the community in terms of its fiscal sustainability, in terms of its ability to provide infrastructure and public services and facilities in a fiscally responsible way into the future as you enter into that new age of thinking about growth and development. This plan clearly identifies that as a major agenda item for the community to be thinking about and make some suggestions about how the community starts to tackle this. We already talked about the interconnectedness of the various elements. Protecting character of the neighborhoods, and in particularly, it's a really interesting term you heard earlier, the feathering out, which is a really good way to think about making transitions within the community. That's an important part of this. Certainly the options and alternatives for a changing community in terms of housing, transportation, and employment, and those transportation connections, and you're going to hear more from Tim about that as we go forward. Sorry. So what I'd like to do here is to take a few minutes and really focus in on the vision and the goals. I think of these as being analogous to the constitutional principles of the plan, right? These are the high-level aspirational kinds of things that we're talking about here. I think it's important as a planner, and I would urge you as leaders to think about what you're trying to achieve, what the outcomes of this process are before you dig too deeply into the mechanics of it. In other words, before you dig too deeply into the tools. So things like zoning and impact fees and, you know, all these sorts of tools that are out there, those are mechanisms. But first of all, it's important to see if we agree on what it is you're trying to achieve. And so we planners use the term, you know, vision and goals. But again, those are the big aspirational kinds of things. So I always think that's a really important starting point. So there is a vision statement here, and you can see from the blue language that then ties to a series of goal statements. So I won't read this vision statement. It's obviously a lofty statement. You know, it talks about things like honoring the coastal village heritage. It talks about quality of life. It talks about taking the long view. And so what I'd like to do is to dig into that a little bit deeper. So there are four goals that are the overarching principles that guide this plan. And those have to do with creating quality places, the built environment. Those have to do with recognizing quality of life, what has to do with the people. Those have to do with people getting around and into and out of the town, the mobility. And then there are a couple of issues related to the what we're calling the long view, and I'll come back and explain those here in just a minute. So let me just take those one at a time. So the quality of the built environment in place. So what we're after here is a number of different things related to place. One of those has to do with the rate of development. There's no question that this is a community that has been growing very rapidly, and there's no other than the fact that as we talk about, you are going to be shifting from a greenfield form of growth and development to redevelopment infill. There are a lot of people that want to be here, right? You are one of the hottest communities and one of the hottest regions in the country. And I always like to tell communities that's in a sense a good problem to have. I'd much rather live in a place where people want to be than live in a place where people don't want to be. But certainly in terms of the amount and the pressure, we understand that the pace of change has just been very difficult for people to deal with here. So that's certainly an important point, that is balancing that rate of development and the provision of infrastructure. The issue of essentially economic development, that is jobs and taxes, right? That is drawing businesses into town to create higher paying employment opportunities and diversify the tax base. You have people in this town whose job it is to help promote those sorts of things. So that's a very important thing. I also think it's very important, though, to think about not just the quality of place as a whole, but the quality of places. In other words, within your town, there are multiple places, multiple neighborhoods, multiple business districts. So it's not just this homogenous sense of place overall, but it's recognizing that there are unique characteristics of different parts of the town that's very important to keep in mind. And I think also certainly the issue of the housing. You heard a lot of different sentiments about that earlier, that variety of housing type to meet the needs of a changing demographic, which in communities all over the country that are dealing with high growth rates, we always hear the similar kind of things. We need housing where our teachers and our firefighters and our police officers and our young planners can afford to live, and that requires a certain amount of diversity, that requires a certain amount of thought that is very difficult to wrestle with. But this is not just about place, this is not just about physical, this is also about quality of life in the sense that people live here. So I think, excuse me, thank you. I think that recognizing the importance of the uniqueness of the environment in which Mount Pleasant sits, I think of that as that Mount Pleasant is not just a community that could exist anywhere in the country. This is a country that is of this place, and I think that's an important principle to keep in mind here. We hear a lot about the coastal style, the coastal village, and all of that. It's hard to put those into words. You know it better than I do. You live here, but there is a uniqueness to this place that's important to recognize. And I think when you look at particularly the natural environment and the natural features, is to think about those not just as a series of isolated kinds of things, but as an opportunity for this to be a kind of network, a system of things that connect to each other. That's an important part of this. Certainly the historic aspect of this is important, as is the idea that again, these are not just abstract ideas. These are places where people live, and we need places where people play. We need the recreational opportunities as well. So those are some of the quality of life issues. A couple of other things here. This idea of these common areas, these kind of civic spaces, where there are opportunities. So, for example, the cultural core that you will hear about and that you've read about here. These are important opportunities to not just provide places, but they're opportunity for that community building that I was talking about. When we have great places where people can gather and common places, it builds community trust. It builds community identity. Likewise, locally owned businesses is an important part of this. You know, the economic development is great, jobs are great, but if it's all out of town, if it's all national, it loses that character. So the importance of recognizing traditional industry, local historic culture, all the things that go along with locally owned businesses. Excuse me. And related to that is this concept of recognizing the importance of the local historic communities, the settlement communities and other historic areas. Thank you. The mobility, you're going to hear more about this from Tim Smith in just a few minutes. But, you know, this has to do with the basics of things like safety and functionality and efficiency. But it also has to do with the connectivity and multimodal nature of transportation. So certainly the thing that people think about the most is the traffic. I've driven around Mount Pleasant. I've been stuck in traffic. I see it. I feel it like you do. But it also has to do with kind of the, you know, people-powered aspect of it, the bicycle and pedestrian and multiple modes of transportation. And I think the importance of coordinating the land use and transportation related issues. And then there are a couple of other issues that certainly that come up, providing the transit opportunities as well as the issue of integrating planning with the port related traffic to minimize the impact on the community. And then there were a series of issues that came up that we ended up putting in this category of taking the long view. Now certainly comprehensive planning is inherently about taking the long view, but this is about not just thinking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This is about thinking as much as possible forever, right? This is indefinitely into the future, and the idea is that we're not borrowing against our future. So it's an interesting mix of things that ended up in here. Certainly the fiscal sustainability is an important part of that, but then mixed with that is the ability to provide infrastructure, integrity of the natural environment, and certainly the disaster resilience issue. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag of issues, but the commonality is that we need to be thinking not just about, you know, this horizon of next period of time, but about indefinitely into the future. So those are the again, the aspirational principles, the constitutional principles. There are some big ideas in there. There are some tough lifts in there, but that's what comprehensive planning is really all about. So with that, we're going to turn to Jeff, and he's going to start taking a deeper dive into this.
Thank you, Greg. As we worked on the plan and looked at town-wide issues, there were some themes that emerged that we've labeled future initiatives. And this.
Can you give us a reference in the draft plan
where this
but
is
I was
covered.
Just following with section two.
But you don't know it off the top of your head.
It's changing.
It's section three, basically.
It is section three.
Good.
All right. Section three.
Thanks.
And so we'll just run through quickly some of these that emerged, and they sort of shape the direction of the plan and some work that we need to do as we move into the future. One is the Urban Corridor Overlay District, which we've, during the process, have already renamed as the Boulevards Overlay District. But in reaction to what folks described as, you know, past planning or other efforts that maybe didn't pan out like the community was expecting. This section tries to come up with a way that we would rethink this notion and shift from this sort of linear commercial corridors to more of focus or activity areas, nodes, hubs. You can describe them in with lots of different terms. And one of the things that needs to come out of this is, because of the level that we're at, we need to work further on special area plans for these particular areas. The Houston Northcutt Hub, as we've labeled it, is different than Carolina Park at the upper end of town. And so each one of those might need some special treatment. And working on these special plans would give us that ability, as Greg mentioned, to address the character and the differences of different parts of town, but still maintain that concept of that theme of mixed-use development in areas that are appropriate. And quite frankly, as we've mentioned before, these exist. The boundaries of these areas are on the ground. We haven't designated any new areas. It's a recognition and a reflection of the pattern and the fabric in the community that's already here. You've heard about affordability of housing and diversity of housing, just a whole main topic that emerged through our discussions, and that finding ways to support providing a variety of housing types, even to the extent of, on the bottom, looking at different techniques and tools like inclusionary zoning, requiring a certain percentage of housing to be affordable out of an entire development. Another one that emerged as a major theme are our settlement communities. These, although not technically, some of them, not within the town or the geographic areas, but in the county, this whole initiative needs to be done in coordination with the county, with an effort to protect the integrity of those areas. How do you proceed with the pressures that we face to be able to maintain that character and still be able to move on into the future? And that a notion that came out with this and the cultural core next was the idea that perhaps as a community building, as a way to reflect on history, there may be a way that we should consider a cultural or an arts facility that would be able to take advantage of those aspects of these areas. The core, again, is you see in the center of the town. One speaker mentioned Boone Hall. The other is in this area is the park that we now own in conjunction with the county and the Hamlin Farms property. And so recognizing those areas and the uniqueness of those, and how do we work to reflect the character but also deal with the future of what might happen in these areas. This, too, will require a lot of work with the county because it's unincorporated county properties that we're dealing with. You hear about the Mount Pleasant Way. The notion here is that we would develop an interconnected, multi-use path system and network that would connect people the ability to bicycle or to walk to facilities and schools and places of worship and shopping areas. And so this would take the system that we have today and really move it to the next order in order to be able to accommodate that kind of facility within the town. And so, again, not addressed, not complete. The notion is here that we would need to pursue further study and analysis to figure out how you actually make that happen on the ground. And then financial health and resilience, we've mentioned on more than one occasion that this is something important that's emerged, and how do we make sure that the town has the ability to continue to operate and that you're able to provide services and facilities and infrastructure that the community expects into the future. In conjunction with the Mount Pleasant Way, to some degree, would be the idea that we really capitalize on a network of open space and pay attention to things like at the bottom, water access as something that is unique here, and how do you build that into the open space system and network for the long-term future. So speaking of networks, I'll turn it over to Liz, and she'll continue with this segment of the plan.
Sorry for the musical chairs. So what you've been hearing about, you know, last little bit, has all been kind of vision and theory and initiatives and kind of big picture of where we want to go, where the plan forum and the citizens that spoke, kind of the direction they pointed us in. The next parts of the plan kind of look at, okay, well, where are we right now? So we get, you know, if we know where we're going and we know where we are, then we got to figure out how to get there from here to there. So this next bit, the network plans are, I'm trying to figure out how to work this. Okay. The network plans are, the networks are aspects of the community of Mount Pleasant that basically cover the whole town. It's things like the transportation network or the water and sewer network or things that affect us townwide to some degree. We looked at land uses in the terms of character areas. We looked at areas where people live and where people go, just to try to get an idea of how the different parts of town relate to one another. And within each of these network plans, the character areas, for instance, the plan forum and planning commission made recommendations, you know, pertaining to these specific aspects of the town. Community facilities network, just what you would think, the different usually public facilities, some of them private, if it's, say, a school or a tennis court that might be private, but the sorts of things where people go, where people gather, that are pretty much open to anybody, kind of looked at where those are across the town. Where do we have gaps? What are we missing? What do we need to do? Where do we need to focus our attention for providing facilities for the citizens of the town? We looked at water and sewer utilities, and again, serving the town, across the board, wanting to make sure that we had adequate service capacities and capabilities throughout the town, and looking for areas where we might need to make some changes. For instance, talking about the idea that we've talked about a fair amount about getting septic systems onto public sewer. For a variety of different reasons, there are benefits to that, and looking at ways that we can work with Waterworks to address these problems. Also looking at the reality of what we might need to deal with down the road in terms of long-term environmental conditions, or the things we need to think about as we're planning these capital projects that sea level rise might impact. I'm sure we've been thinking about that, but we need to make sure that, we're on top of that aspect of it as well. The Green Network is kind of a snapshot of what's out there now that's kind of in green, the screen, especially this time of year, right, with all the new leaves. But it's open spaces. It may be public. It may be private. It may be a ball field, which some people say, well, that's not open space. It's a different kind of open space. You can still get out there and run around, when they're not playing a game. But this is, again, looking at what we've got. What do we have to work with, or these networks? So this is where we're starting. These are some spaces that we could potentially build upon as we start looking at building this open space network that Jeff mentioned a minute ago. If we were to be able to link this to that, it helps to know what you've got out there. The recommendations look to taking this green network to the next step in terms of making an open space network. The hazards profile was something that's a little bit different with the town's focus on emergency preparedness and resilience efforts that the town is undertaking. We figured it was an important time to be looking at, okay, how does this look townwide, and what are the things that we need to start identifying, townwide that we might need to focus on, just kind of in preparation for a lot of the work that Amanda's doing, making sure that we establish, you know, and identify the town's vulnerability to hazards, and make sure that we know what we're looking for and what we're preparing for, developing our resilient strategy and so forth, and looking at evacuation efforts and, you know, routes, that's the word I'm going for, making sure that we're, you know, keeping all those things, you know, those aspects of our community that we hope won't ever really be important, but they will be. We know the day will come. Water management was a section that actually the Planning Commission added into the plan at the request of the plan forum. As we got closer and closer to the end of the plan forum's work with the draft, there was more concern about this whole questions of sea level rise, and also what are we doing about stormwater, and are we making sure that we're addressing those issues thoroughly. So the plan forum asked the Planning Commission to take a look at this and make sure that we're covered in those respects. So that's where this section came from. So if you're looking at a really old version of the plan, you won't see this in there, but that's where it came from. You know, this does not specifically deal with, this is not drinking water management, which is a whole different issue we've got going these days. But this is, we didn't want to call it stormwater management because that negates kind of the idea of the sea level rise. So it's just water management, which, but looking at making sure that our standards and our projects are in sync with what we know is going on out there in the world. Okay, so those were some things that are kind of town-wide, affect everybody with, you know, to some degree or another, obviously, but apply town-wide. Again, in the theme of looking at where we are and where we're going, we then decided to look at different areas of town and kind of what's happening in those particular areas. As we've, you know, spoken any number of times, you know, the Coleman area is different from the Long Point area, is different from the 17 North area. And so there are different concerns and different realities and different issues in those different parts of town. So we've broken it up into eight different districts. And obviously there's a lot more in the plan specific to these areas. And you know the issues in these areas as well or better than I do, just talking to folks. But the Planning Commission and Plan Forum, for that matter, you know, made recommendations specific to each of these different parts of town pertaining to the style of development potentially. In this case, you know, looking at the style of development along Johnny Dodds, defining the hubs, a couple of the hubs that might need future or would need future refinement, but the idea of in this area, it might be something worth looking at. And of course, for Johnny Dodds, also looking at the Patriots Point area. Coleman District, you've got, of course, our concerns about the Shem Creek area, which also is reflected in that Johnny Dodds district as well in the other recommendations, because you have two sides to the creek. But we need to look at the Shem Creek area, public access to Shem Creek, concerns that were raised with the Old Village Historic District, potentially the idea of expanding that to make sure that we better protect the character of some of the rest of the, you know, now they call, you know, pretty much anyone who calls anything that side of Coleman the Old Village. You know, so what do we need to do there to protect the character of that area? Back to trying to make sure that we're protecting the character of our residential areas. That would be one way we could go about it. Not the only way, but that's an idea. Also looking at the impacts of commercial parking on the adjoining neighborhoods throughout that district. Town Center District is a very different, I'm just, the juxtaposition Coleman to Town Center District is, you know, pretty extreme. But this is, as we all know, a pretty heavy-duty commercial part of town. We do have a recommendation for a hub in this area at the end of 526. And again, as Jeff said earlier, that area is commercially developed. If you were to go out there and figure out, you know, look at the maps with exactly what's where. And the idea behind this hub and the other redevelopment hubs is that we want to, the recommendations state, you know, that we would be put guidelines in place so that when the time comes that something is going to happen there, which is going to happen somewhere sometime, then we're ready. That's the idea of the hubs, is that we're prepared with what we want to see in those areas for when the development, redevelopment potential occurs. In this area particular, also, there's the concerns about traffic with Lucy Beckham High School that we'll talk about, you know, some in the transportation portion, and the connection, the finishing of these roadway connections, the Billy Swales Parkway that we've mentioned earlier as well. Long Point District, port traffic, you know, ongoing challenge in that area, but there are different projects going on to deal with that, as well as looking at the Snowden community and trying to protect the integrity of that neighborhood. Route 17 North District, just up the road from that town center district a minute ago. This is where we have, this is basically the cultural core plus a few surrounding neighborhoods. And the idea being that this, you know, the idea of the cultural core is that this area of town is something special in terms of Mount Pleasant culture and history and what's still there and what potential, what the benefit to the town from those, you know, cultural and historical qualities. What can we do there? I don't think there are many of us that would, didn't seem like there were many that would say, oh, let's just go ahead and develop it like the rest of it, and, you know. If that's not what you want, then what do we want? And that's the idea of the cultural core. What can we do here that is a little different and special and speaks to Mount Pleasant? Again, more connecting roadways. Future Rifle Range Park is also a recommendation in that area. Highway 41 District. Of course, there's a roadway project, but that's not our project. That's ongoing. That's, you know, going to be happening here in the years to come. Phillips community, the impacts on that community, as well as we heard from a number of people in this end of town about we need more services at this end of town. So to keep us from having to drive all the way back into town center to get our dinner, we need some things up in this area. So there are some recommendations for that. The Republic Tract is a really potentially special piece of property, and the idea being that we would recommend creation of a special area plan for that. Again, before something happens, what were the sorts of things we would want to see happen there? Have a, you know, get the community to weigh in on that, and so that, you know, that we're prepared. Carolina Park, 10 Mile District. This area obviously is developing pretty rapidly. Again, small scale commercial uses for the neighboring areas. Again, protecting the integrity of the 10 Mile community. Pretty much in each one of these districts, you've got a settlement community that is and has said that they want some support and protection. So that goes back to the earlier initiative that, you know, working with the county on the settlement communities. It affects the whole town, you know, different communities, obviously. And they each have their own characteristics, but it's not isolated to one part of town. And this area also contains our urban growth boundary line, which has not changed from the previous plan. It's the same as the county's, and the development standards shift once you get past that boundary to a lower intensity, and that does not change with this plan. And so, wrong click. The rural district beyond that is very low density, and this big dark green foresty area is, of course, the National Forest. And then Onondaga down here, of course, but these areas are unincorporated county that according to the plan should be, any development there should be of a very low density, because to protect the value and the quality of the National Forest and Cape Romaine. So after covering all that land area, I'll let Tim talk a little bit about the transportation and how we can get around.
Afternoon, Mayor Haney, members of Town Council. So I'm an introvert at heart, and I've never been accused of talking too much, so we will try to keep this on schedule.
Thank
all
you.
The transportation is one of those topics where we love to get down in the data and the weeds and talk about the analysis and whatnot. But so I'd like to start with, you know, as Greg mentioned earlier, as far as the high-level goals and overarching goals and vision of the plan, we did combine the mobility element, the long-range transportation plan, with the land use planning effort this time, which is unique. It's very unique. And so using those hierarching vision that was developed through the overall planning process, we developed some policy recommendations specific to transportation. So you'll see that these policy recommendations are consistent with the overarching goals and that vision for mobility. They include your typical things such as addressing traffic and safety, multimodal, you know, policies for bike and ped and transit, strategies such as improving interconnections and mobility throughout the town. So once we moved on from those policies, that takes us into the project development process. And one thing that I will say for Mount Pleasant that was a pleasure to see and to work with is there have been a lot of great work done in the town in the past and building on the previous long-range transportation plan. A lot of projects were already in the plan, were have been developed to meet the needs for mobility in the town. So really, once we started doing the analysis and looking through the various needs, where the issues were as far as traffic and congestion, there were really only 6 or 7 new projects that we identified for testing. So this slide just shows some of those 6 or 7 projects that were new to the planning process overall that we tested and ran through the model to see how they impacted the traffic patterns, the traffic volumes, and the congestion in the town. After doing that analysis, I should say that what you'll find in the plan is a series of tables of the recommended projects that made it into the final plan and the draft version of the plan as you see now. Some important things to point out are the project IDs. As you look through the plan, look at the map, you'll notice the project IDs, the name of the facility. Project status is important. There's been a couple of projects mentioned to the public comment period earlier today. And you'll see some of those listed as potential. So it is an important distinction to keep in mind as you look through the plan. We also identified planning level cost for the various projects. So you'll see there's the new alignment projects. There's a table for widening projects as well, that same type of information for you. There are several tables of intersection improvements. So we've identified 18 intersection interchange improvements in the plan as well. One thing that, and I haven't been planning as long as Greg, and that's not a joke on his age, but just I've worked on, you know, a variety of state plans, regional plans, local government plans, and I will say this is the first plan I've been involved with where there was enough funding for all the identified projects. That was a unique surprise. So you'll find that the project totals in the plan total to $425 million. And in working with your finance folks here at the town has an estimated funding availability of $453 million. So those projects, even the ones that are listed as potential, are fully funded if needed, which that is very unique. Typically, you have to go through a prioritization process and figure out which projects you're going to kick out of the plan because there's not enough money. So that was unique and very good for the town. The plan does has, as we mentioned, transit several times, and transit is dependent on land use in large part. You need certain intensities and densities in land use to make transit and BRT function properly and have the demand necessary to make those systems work. So there is a transit focus. We do have some stops in there. We coordinated with the BCD COGS Regional Transit Plan, Bus Rapid Transit Plan. And you'll find transit represented well in the plan. Let's just close with three maps. So this is the final project map. So you'll see the blue dots are intersection interchange projects. The red dots are the interchange projects. You'll see the widenings, the new alignments, new roadways. And the rose shading is potential corridor projects. So that would be, say, for US 17, it's a long corridor. There's not one specific project, but that is something where you could implement an ITS-type project, something that would implement or assist the corridor as a whole, as well as Long Point Road with the maritime project that's currently ongoing, the corridor study. Mount Pleasant Way has been mentioned several times. This was a popular project, popular idea throughout the planning process. So this is a map of that proposed Mount Pleasant Way, this multimodal, multi-use bicycle pedestrian trail that will connect parks, residential areas, and other points of interest throughout the town. And then finally, I understand there's been some talk about connector projects. When I mentioned earlier some of the policies, one of the policies when you're looking at ways to improve mobility, since as Greg mentioned, the town is a mature town. There's not a lot of green space left. There's not a lot of space left to improve your roadway network. You have a fairly mature roadway network. So some of the things you can do as a planning strategy to improve mobility are look at opportunities to improve connections of your existing network. Find opportunities to implement parallel facilities that can relieve each other. This is a map that just shows that strategy of improving connectivity in some various potential locations. They're not projects. They're not in those project tables included in the project funding. That's an important notation. But it's a map of potential opportunities to do that. I think with that, we have the action plan.
Go back to Jeff. One of the big pieces of the plan, and it is an ambitious plan, as Greg mentioned, you know, sort of lofty goals, ideals, objectives as we move forward, but we can't do it all in the comprehensive plan. But in order to accomplish it, we've identified what's called the action plan. And so to implement the plan as we move forward, we've identified sort of in the last piece of the plan, wrapping it all together, and noting all the various strategies, additional planning, additional work that we would do in order to make this a reality. And I don't want to erase. And so they're categorized in various levels of priority. Some are immediate and ongoing. Others are midterm. Others are longer term, just sort of laying them out in a reasonable fashion in terms of what we think we could accomplish. And it gives you in a prioritization, if you will. There's some things you have to do first before you can work on the next pieces. So some immediate efforts, one of which we'll identify a little bit more, is the notion of a plan implementation committee. One of the comments we heard a lot through the discussion is, how do we know the community will continue to follow this plan? And so we've added in a piece that says, well, let's keep ourselves honest. Let's evaluate. Let's track. Let's monitor what it is we're doing, and are we on the right track? Or do we need to make shifts or adjustments? Hey, maybe we need to do this, and we're going to put that one off. But that's okay. Let's just do it in a concerted way as we review and discuss it. So there's some immediate efforts, a lot dealing with collaborating with the county, a lot dealing with existing landowners and that protection of natural lands and agricultural spaces that we talked about. And then we move then into some shorter term efforts, say half a year to 2 year efforts. A big one is that top bullet on this list. There's a lot of new ideas, different approaches within the plan, and our zoning code and land development regulations haven't been updated holistically in quite a while. And so a major new project would be to update all of those to be able to make the plan happen in the way that we want to happen. Special area plans are identified for several geographic areas, the Mount Pleasant Way analysis, and the whole fiscal impact work that we think should be done to understand what the future holds. Midterm efforts, you see some of those listed here, from a comprehensive parks, rec, and open space master plan to that resiliency strategy at the bottom. Whoa. Didn't know I had that. And then even longer term, and we laugh and joke about it, one of the longer term strategies is that we need to be updating this plan in 5 years. So we're not finished with it yet, but we're already thinking about having to update it. And those would vary over time. And again, the notion of a plan implementation committee, we've laid out sort of a potential way that that could be structured, similar to the plan forum. You would involve, you know, lots of folks who are interested in the plan, form the committee, and they would have responsibility to kind of be a oversight watchdog group that would make sure we're tracking with the plan and we're, you know, moving forward with what we said we were going to do as a community. And they could meet on a regular basis, be able to provide report to council. And that's another component of this, is that we believe that we ought to be reporting back to you as a council what kind of progress are we making, and make sure that we're staying on top of our game in terms of carrying out the plan. And there's a lot of other administrative ones. So the last section we have deals with the various categories. So Liz presented the district plans. There's a lot of terminology here when we talk about community scale commercial and hubs and those kinds of things. So we can try to run through that, Mayor, if you'd like us to summarize that, or if you want us to provide you our written descriptions, we're happy to do it whichever way you want in the interest of time.
Yeah. I think the written would be good. This is a lot to digest, and we are at the surface level. I mean, we're reading the index, basically. So I think going to that level now, unless council disagrees, is digging a little deep for the primary thing here.
And so what we would say here is that, and a lot of folks have commented on the thickness of the plan.
Right.
The guts of the plan really are the first two-thirds, if you will, of the document. Then we provide lots of reference information or information like this that takes people through an understanding of the terminology, make sure everybody's operating on the same wavelength as we talk about the different categories. What do you mean by a mixed neighborhood versus neighborhood scale commercial, et cetera? And I think our last point was, as we would wrap it up, would be to get some feedback from you all as a group on how you wish to proceed from here. And one of the pieces that we suggested was conducting at least an initial public hearing or open public meeting. So you as a council, we're sort of the messenger feeding you back the information we've heard all along this course. But if you would conduct that first, you would have a feel for the community sentiment on a lot of these topics and ideas, and then that would give us the basis for being able to lay out a game plan and a strategy for working our way through the plan. So we're ready to work with Christine and with Mr. DeMora on looking ahead to when that could happen, and council is required to hold a public hearing. And that would require 30 days notice, but that would be an official public hearing. We might be able to pull something off, a sort of kickoff meeting, if you will, sooner than that, but we still need time to plan for it. And we'll stop with our summary and open it up to you, Mayor, for questions or comments or further discussion on the future steps.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me ask Council your initial thoughts on the future steps. Anybody? I have a few. I have a quick question. Without diving into the report, one of the biggest issues in the Lowcountry and in the state, from funding, livability, priority, and everything, is drainage and flooding. And I haven't heard anything about drainage and flooding yet.
All the plans in the world, either for your roads or your residences, don't do you any good if you get flooded out. I did see one thing in there about taking a look at buying repeatedly damaged properties and things like that, and I think Charleston just had to do that in Church Creek. So that was a surface-level question that I had, and we talk about future discussion. I mean, for instance, we implemented a 40% coverage rule, impervious surface coverage rule. And I see a lot about redoing all of our ordinances and basically kind of reinventing Mount Pleasant town government, even to the point of another blind selected citizens committee to implement this, which I just want to say as an elected official, I think the citizens expect the elected officials of the town to implement this. We're the ones who went out there to 87,000 people, gave them our vision for the town, knowing that we would be doing this. And so I think the people will hold us responsible. Drainage and flooding is a huge issue that we hear about a lot. I think that's something, Council, that as we get into the details of this, we're going to have to take that into consideration. It involves funding. It involves livability and how well you're, ask people that live on Long Point Road when we have tidal flooding of Long Point how good the transportation plan is when the road's flooded. So we've got a lot of work to do. We're right in the middle of a budget season. We're right in the middle, as you'll see, at 5:30 tonight of some meetings that have to do with very time-critical issues that if we miss these now, like Crab Bank and other things, the effects are long-term. Water issues, we had a special call council meeting today about a reduction of a special call committee meeting, for water supply. And we heard the director of Mount Pleasant Water Works mention that looking out 10 to 15 years, we don't know that our daily water supply needs can be met. So we as council have a lot of things to consider as we go about this. I appreciate the work. It's obvious that an awful lot of work was done, but ultimately we're the ones who have to own it. And ultimately it's us and not a appointed citizens committee and not the planning commission who's appointed by us. We're the ones who will be judged by this. And this is also right in the middle of a council election year. So all that makes it for a really interesting process and time. I'm not in any hurry, I can tell you that. I think we need to do the budget. I think we've got two things coming up. I mean, one of those, we won't know for a while on this water issue. We won't know what the future growth ability of this town will be based on a limited water supply. And that just popped up like last week. So I would think that the planning committee is probably the primary driver in this. And I'm thinking out loud, which is a scary thing to do, but I'm thinking that we would defer to the planning committee to begin some initial aspects. I'm thinking that the planning committee could parcel out some of this to the other committees like public services, recreation, finance. There's a lot involved in this. But, I mean, I don't see us, Mr. DeMura, unless there's some administrative
purchasing,
all of that. Unless there's an administrative reason that we need to rush and pass this in the next 60 days, we've got a lot of work to do. Okay.
There is no reason.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we were facing some imminent deadline that planning staff will no longer have a comprehensive plan to use or to judge things by.
No, we would continue to rely on the existing adopted plan.
Great.
And then be able to move through. But council did, a couple of years ago, accelerate the effort to say we really needed to update our plan.
Right.
And we're doing all we can to meet that
exactly
directive of council at the time.
And I think the public hearing aspect of that, I know we're required to do one. We may do more than one.
Right.
And we need to be strategic in picking dates and times to do those. So I think one of the takeaways from this is let's look at dates and times in the future for those. Let's plan backwards to where council needs to be at those points. And then why don't we work, Mr. DeMura and with the clerk, why don't we work on, after council has looked at this and digested it, why don't we get all the council members to sort of just send your thoughts, your initial thoughts. Here's some questions I have. Here's some problems I have with this. And we can add to that list of issues. I think it's flipped over. There it is. Future discussion topics, those type things. Let's gather those and then get our arms around the issues that council wants to address in this, and then we'll let the planning committee sort of take the lead on this, and we'll work it. I mean, we got law enforcement, fire, water supply, parks, recreation. I mean, every council committee has got to take a look, I think, at things and bring it back to council. So we will be working our way through this. So if anybody's expecting to come back next month and see a final vote on this, you're going to be very disappointed. I'll also remember a quote I saw recently by Steve Jobs. If you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. Don't get in a leadership position. So we're not selling ice cream here. We're not going to make everybody happy. But we will, I think we will do what's required of us as elected leaders to delve into this, make suggested changes, and then pass one that we will go out and face the public over.
And we're prepared to help you maneuver along the way, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Have I given y'all enough as staff to what we're going to work with from here? Council, yes, sir. Mr. Brimmer.
So, yeah, thank you for all the information. This is my third round through this, and it's incredibly complex. There's so many things that kind of tie into each other, and I think y'all have done a good job of giving us a place to start. Just a couple of comments in terms of moving forward. One is, you know, my view of a plan like this is it's a framework. It's a framework to work within. And one of the criticisms of past comprehensive plans has been how much they've been changed. And I think that is a result, I think, of when you have a comprehensive plan that is very prescriptive, that any kind of deviation, even if it's a good deviation, requires a change in the plan. So I hope that we don't get to the point where we're being so prescriptive with this that it requires us to change on a constant basis. I think it should be a framework with some flexibility in there so that when situations and conditions change over the 10 years, that we have the flexibility to do what's right for the town and not be limited to the plan. Second thing is transportation plan. In my view, this is a critical part of this document. Transportation is our biggest complaint in town to a large degree, and I think we really should take a really close look at what's being prescribed and how to build that infrastructure to support the rest of the ideas in the plan. It didn't get much conversation today, but it's going to be a critical piece for me. I'll go back to a comment I made at the beginning of this process, which is this is a 10-year plan. And one of the things about these plans is every time you do them, they tend to get bigger. They tend to get thicker with more pages. And I want to make sure that when I go through this, I'm looking at it from a 10-year window, because we don't need a lot of goals and strategies and specifics that we know we can't achieve. I think if it's smaller, limited in scope to what we can do in 10 years, that will give us a better chance of accomplishing more of it. And so I'll be looking for that. And there's one more point that I had. Dang it.
We can come back to you.
I'll get it. Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yes. Senior moment.
Yes. Anybody else? So, have council, have we covered this enough, determining the future schedule and all? Are we prepared to adjourn? Yes, sir, Mr. Kinney.
Yeah, I'd just like to note that I don't really see a cross reference of where certain ideas came into this from. Is there some place? Is there someone or some group or some entity or where did these hubs come? What gave rise to them? Do you know? Is there like a public comment that says they were desirable, or a group of people that wanted it, or a certain area of town that wanted a hub? Or is this just more of a thing that we study in planning degrees, and then we want to bring it to Mount Pleasant?
It's a concept used all over the country,
right,
in terms of planning. People probably didn't say, I think you ought to incorporate hubs in your future plan. The elements of what they describe, though, places where I could live, might have higher density, I could walk to shops, what they're describing, they might not use plannerese, but that's where the genesis of these ideas for that topic come from. We've also tracked on the website all of the comments and all of the information that there's a running list out there of everything we recorded from online surveys, in-person, the public meetings. So you can see and word clouds that we've developed have come from the exact language that people provided to the forum as we moved along and then the planning commission.
Right, and the reason I bring that up, Mr. Ulmer and Mr. Mayor, is it does connect to everything else. And if it's something that's going to get shot down, it should probably get shot down sooner rather than later. Because if we wait with this plan with 9 hubs or 10 hubs around the town, and then we decide 3/4 of the way through the council's review that we don't want the hubs anymore, well, then the whole thing's going to fall apart. So I look at one up there in the Republic tract, and they're saying some kind of density area up there, and, you know, it's just absurd. The traffic's crazy now. And that's just one of them. There's a bunch of them. The other thing is, if somebody bought a strip mall in the 1960s, are we obligated that their great-grandchildren become billionaires or millionaires on that same piece of land? I think they're making money. We don't see too many empty ones. They're functioning. They're performing a service. The people are using those businesses. The landlord's most likely making some money. And yet we want to take all the strip malls and make them into little mini cities. I just don't see that as the thing. So thank you.
Yes, sir. Mr. Brimmer and then Mr. Owens. I think you remembered your third point.
It may be a senior moment, but it's a short senior moment. So just in reference to hubs, Mr. Panin's comment, the hubs is nothing new. The hubs have been in the last 10-year plan, and I believe they were in the 5-year update before that. So we've had the idea of hubs here in Mount Pleasant for quite some time. I think what's concerning folks is maybe the expansion of those or maybe more of them, but that's not a new concept here in town. They've been in those plans for many years. What I wanted to say earlier was it might be useful, and it was for me last time I went through this, for council to understand and maybe have a brief discussion about the difference between a comprehensive plan, the zoning code, town ordinances, and all those things. They're all different. And what I hope we can avoid here is getting down into the comprehensive plan and talking about things that are better discussed as part of the ordinances or zoning code. Because we don't need to be getting into zoning decisions and stuff in this. This is an overview. So if anyone doesn't understand the difference in all of those things, it might be useful at some point in the future for us to talk about what information goes in which one of those things so that we don't get bogged down in a lot of detail. Thanks.
Great. Mr. Owens.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I want to also thank Liz and consultants and staff who worked on this, put in a lot of hours, a lot of work, and also want to thank the committee for coming in, exhausting a lot of your valuable time, taking away from your families, and committing your effort to the town. We only have one chance to get this right, and I am a believer that we take the slow road, that we're not rushing to judgment, that we can take our time and make sure that we cover the bases through committees or otherwise or small groups or whatever the case might be. But even public meetings, additional public meetings, as the mayor was addressing earlier, and incorporating it all before we are called upon to approve this plan. Again, we get one chance to do it right, and I think that needs to be in the forefront of all of our minds. But I do want to thank you for your effort in bringing this together. It's really impressive. It really is something to take marvel at. But, you know, there's time for us to hone it and make it as good as it gets. So, again, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. O'Rourke, it throws me out of sorts when you sit there and don't say a word. Can you?
But I don't agree with anyone. That always scares me.
So what's new?
Well, I don't think we should go slow. I'm sorry. I 2 years ago I ran for this seat, and the thing that I spoke about the most, I think, was the comprehensive plan. And so we're 2 years to here, and I'm okay with going slow, and I understand what you mean about being deliberate, and I think that makes sense. But I wish we had a timeline. I wish we would come if we just say let's go slow, everything's going to be a priority in front of this. But if we were to create a timeline ourselves, and work within that timeline, everything we do is hard. But that's why we ran, I guess. We got to suck it up and do it. And this is a pretty important, like maybe the most important thing for the future of this town. And I would like to have those discussions before I go off of council.
I promise you that will happen.
Okay.
I promise you that one.
I don't have any idea. I think we all can have that
discussion.
We're
going to figure that out.
There's no women in the room, so we better be careful.
Just notice you know? That. That was not on purpose.
Yeah,
neither
of
the female council members are here.
Because they're very smart. So.
One's out of the country, and I think the other
I just, I appreciate you asking my comment, but I just hope that we can create a timeline and live within that timeline so that I think if we have those dates on there, we'll hit those dates, really.
Yeah.
Just
okay.
A thought.
All right, yes, sir.
I'd just like to ditto what Councilman Owen said about staff and how hard you guys have worked. I attended a couple of those meetings in the Comprehensive Plan Study Group. I really liked being in there because there was a lot of ideas that went back and forth. Not everybody agreed on everything as it should be. I think that's where you find compromise, and that's how you find some things that where you're thinking outside of the box. But I really appreciated sitting in there and listening to everybody give their opinion on what they thought about it. And it was really important for me as an elected official to hear what the citizens had to say about how they think our town should grow. And it's going to be incumbent upon us to take that information. I'm excited about getting involved, recreation involved. I think we have a lot of great opportunities for recreation coming up, and I'm excited and getting, you know, ready to get started, you know, as soon as possible, talking about the opportunities for recreation with the town. So, anyhow, thanks again for staff and the Comprehensive Plan Study Group for all the hard work they did. And, you know, we talked about how much work it is, and here it is right here. That's a lot of reading. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think all the comments were great. And I think we are going to do well moving forward. But the one thing I would like people to carry away from this is the bulldozers are not idling right now waiting to get going. You know, this is going to be a plan. It's going to be studied. It's going to be – it will be deliberate. But a lot of the things that are in the town right now will still be in the town 10, 12, 15 years from now. It's when things are redeveloped, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is developed, we're going to have an idea of how they're going to be. Everyone is